Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Get ready to grip it and rip it.
All right, let's move on. We got golfers waiting.
Dedicated to bringing better golf to America, this is Tee to Green, the golf show.
That's right. Teeing it up and talking golf. That's what we do every Sunday, 52 weeks a year, right here on Tee to Green, the golf show. Hello, fellow golfers. Hello to all. Welcome. I'm Jay Ritchie. Our friend and co-host Debbie O'Connell is off today, but the Duke Robert DeCose is in master control, and we are ready to talk some golf. And do we have a couple of great guests for you today. Two first-time guests. Both are authors. They've written books about two unique topics. It's been over 42 years since Tom Watson hit arguably the greatest shot in the history of professional golf, a chip-in on the 17th hole at Pebble Beach in the 1982 U.S. Open that helped him beat Jack Nicklaus and helped Watson win his only U.S. Open crown. Author Chris Millard writes all about that moment in his new book titled simply The Shot. And Chris Millard will be with us today to talk about Watson, Nicklaus, Pebble Beach, and the chip that changed everything here on Tee to Green. When you think of great golf, you don't usually think of the state of New Jersey, but it's got some great history, and there's a book out called Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf, A Unique History of Golf in the Garden State. It's a beautiful coffee table book that would make a great Christmas gift, too, for golfers in your life. And Kevin Casey joins us today on Tee to Green.
Sunday morning, the sun is coming up. I'm on the tee at 7. I'm here to try my luck. They say this game's a tough one, but I'll give it my best shot. Though the bunkers look like beaches and the greens like parking lots. Oh Lord, what club should I choose? You know I'm lost out in the forest. Save me from those double bogey blues.
It's America's longest-running network radio golf show, Tee to Green, now on Sirius Channel 217, XM Channel 203, and the Sirius XM app. Jay Ritchie teeing it up with Chris Millard next here on Tee to Green.
Did you know that Wendy's has any size soft drinks for just a buck? Yeah, any size, anytime. Like a dollar Coke, dollar Sprite, or even a dollar strawberry Fanta. Okay, could we like maybe switch up the sound effect? Please? Because I'm losing it. Wow, no, not that. Any size soft drink for just a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. A la carte only. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply. This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This vacation offer is so good, I'm going to repeat it. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for 6 days. All meals included for only $2.99. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. All meals, all drinks, $2.99. We'll even give you a free cruiser land package if you're one of the first 50 people to call right now. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for only $2.99. Be one of the first 50 people to book right now at our luxurious all-inclusive resort. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, you deserve a great vacation. So take it right now. Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Call now and get a free cruiser land package on top of your trip.
800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. That's 800-296-1437.
That's the language spoken here every Sunday on T to Green, the Golf Show. I'm Jay Ritchie, along with Robert DeCosa in Master Control. Our friend and co-host, Gabby O'Connell, has the day off today, but we've got a great show lined up for you as we are talking golf with a couple of authors on T to Green today. One is a guy named Kevin Casey. Kevin's got a great coffee table book that would make a great Christmas gift for that hard-to-buy-for golfer in your life. It's called Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf, and we'll talk to Kevin Casey about that later in the hour. Our first guest is standing by and ready to go on the TD Green guest line. You know, one of the great things about sports, and golf in particular, is those magic moments, those epic, iconic, unforgettable moments. If you're a sports fan, you remember things like Franco Harris's immaculate reception catch in the NFL or Doug Flutie's Hail Mary pass. Baseball has a ton of those moments. Kirk Gibson's World Series homer off of Dennis Eckersley, or going way back to Bobby Thompson versus the Dodgers when the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. And who can forget Christian Laettner's buzzer beater against Kentucky in college basketball? Or how about Secretariat winning the Belmont, just taking your breath away? Golf has had those kinds of moments as well, from Larry Mize's long chip in to beat Greg Norman at Augusta, Payne Stewart's incredible putt to win the U.S. Open, Jack's one iron at Pebble Beach, Justin Leonard's Ryder Cup putt, or Tiger's chip in on the lip at Augusta National. Arguably, the greatest shot in golf happened in 1982 at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach when Tom Watson chipped in on the 17th hole, and that helped him to go on and beat Jack Nicklaus, Watson's only U.S. Open championship. That shot and the story around it has been chronicled in a great new book called Simply the Shot, from Chris Millard. And Chris Millard joins us right now here today on Tee to Green to talk about it. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, Jay. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for doing this. The book is called The Shot, Watson, Nicklaus, Pebble Beach, and the Chip That Changed Everything. And I got to ask, why that particular shot? And is this something that's kind of been maybe on your mind to write about for a number of years?
Yes. You know, that shot independently by both ESPN and Golf Channel, and this is obviously, this happened back in 82, so we've had, you know, 40-some years to kind of stew over the shot. But in those 40 years or so, ESPN and Golf Channel both separately named it the greatest shot in golf history. And a friend of mine said, you know, that would make kind of an interesting, if those two organizations hold that shot so highly, maybe it would be kind of cool to go back and look at it. And so over time, I did. I started this book about 10 years ago. And I dug in deep on basically you take the dramatis personae, the cast of characters, and the cast of characters for that moment really were Tom Watson and, of course, his caddy, Bruce Edwards, Jack Nicklaus, who was Watson's primary opponent that day, the U.S. Open itself. also, ESPN and ABC Sports were in kind of a bit of a tussle at that moment, which really kind of underscored the future of sports television in America. And I follow all these characters to the moment Watson chips in, and then we see how that moment affected all of these characters, where they all went from there.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of the book. People might look at the shot, which was maybe 20 feet in total and lasted probably 5 seconds, less than 5 seconds, and go, how in the heck do you write an entire book about that? But if you look at the entire picture, I mean, what is it, 14 chapters, and only one of the chapters actually talks about the shot itself?
Yeah, and in fact, Jay, there's the one chapter entitled The Shot, which details literally, really, that chapter specifically goes from when he hit his tee ball on 17 to when he chipped in, but with a deep focus on the shot itself, that chip shot. There's also another chapter on the 17th, the history of the 17th hole at Pebble Beach itself, which provides a really nice backdrop for what happened on that hole over its, you know, 100 years of life, about 70 years of life, and a lot of the rounds that have been destroyed, and a lot of the funny things that happened, memorable moments. As you mentioned in your beautiful intro to this chat, your encyclopedic recollections of these great plays. The 17th hole has played a huge role in golf history over time, and so in a way, Watson capped off an incredible history of that hole. So there's a chapter on that. But it, you know, you're right. There's that one section that's really about the shot itself, but all the other chapters really are about how we got there, and then when the ball goes in the hole, everything changed. You know, in a way, I'll give you an example. Tom Watson really sort of secured. Tom Watson was the best player in the world at the time, but he'd never won a U.S. Open. And so that sort of really gained him a foothold. That really validated him as the best player in the world. And at that same moment, once that ball goes in the hole, Jack's career starts to fade. This is the beginning of the end of Jack's career. And everybody says, well, wait a minute. What about 86 at Augusta? To which I say, precisely. The reason we were all so stunned and enthralled by Jack's win at 86 is because we knew he was on the downswing. Things have been very slow for him since this loss at Pebble in 1982. So that's an example of sort of how dramatically things change. That's one example of how things change when he hold the chip.
Yeah, they were 10 years apart. Watson was like 31. Jack was like 41 at the time. We were in the vicinity anyway.
Yes, and genuine friendship to this day still between them. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we've all seen some of the weirdness that has affected professional golf over the last few years. But even when you look back at some of the battles that Watson and Nicholas had, and frankly, even the battles that Jack and Arnold had, they never affected their real sense of respect and friendship for one another. I mean, to this day, Tom and Jack have an extremely warm, cordial friendship, a real friendship.
Yeah, that was a beautiful part. Tom Watson did the foreword for your book. Also, David Fay was involved in helping you write the book as well. What was his role in this?
Well, Fay, for I'm sure most of your listeners will remember that David Fay was the executive director of the USGA. And in 1982, he was just a young buck kind of starting out. So no one would have really known his name. Nobody would have recognized him. And David has like a cameo role in this book that turns into a bit of a starring role. His job back in the day was simply to introduce the contestants as they came up to the first tee. And basically all he had to do was say they're, you know, playing out of Kansas City, Tom Watson. That's pretty right. Easy. One line for each guy. And when his assignment was over, you know, he's just a kid. He was maybe in his 20s. He really had no responsibilities for the remainder of the day. So he goes to the little scoring tent by the 18th green. His friend Tom Meeks is in there collecting the scorecards from the contestants. And so he's sitting there, you know, right by on the Pacific coast, watching the greatest players in the world come in and record their scores. And there happens to be a television monitor in that little tent. So David Fay is kind of watching the monitor and enjoying the coastal views. And Watson comes up to the 17th green, or the rough, right off the 17th green. And we all know that the U.S. Open is riding on this chip shot. And ABC Sports, which was airing the championship, had kind of, in the director's suite, had kind of made the decision that Jack had won this thing. As soon as Watson landed in the rough at 17, they figured it was over and that Jack had won it. So they dispatched Jack Whitaker to interview Jack Nicklaus. And essentially, the producer of the telecast admitted to me that that was a winner's interview. We sent him to interview this obvious winner, Nicklaus.
Right.
And David Fay is watching the monitor, and people have just made the assumption in the scoring tent that Watson's chip is so impossible he can't possibly hold it for birdie. Well, this young kind of blonde kid who no one knew is the only one watching the monitor when Watson holds it. And he used a little bit of French. He let out a four-letter word and followed that up with, he hold it. And Nicklaus swirls he's sitting in a kind of a swivel chair, and he swirls around and he goes, he did not. And Fay, the young kid, points to the TV screen and said, he did too, look. And that's how Jack Nicklaus learned that he had lost the Open, you know, that he had in his grasp. So that it was an incredible moment for a little kid named David Fay. And that's kind of why I thought of him for the foreword.
Great story in a great new book called The Shot, Watson, Nicklaus, Pebble Beach, and The Chip That Changed Everything, author Chris Millard. The book, by the way, coming out next week, December 12th. Author Chris Millard joining us today. The book from Back Nine Press. Chris is going to do another segment, and we'll get more into the story behind The Shot and the book with Chris Millard when we come back to TD Green right after this. Stick around.
Would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
It's news, it's interviews, and lots of fun, too, for everyone interested in golf. We do it every week here on Tee to Green, the golf show. I'm Jay Ritchie, going solo today. My co-host, Debbie O'Connell, taking the day off. She'll be back with us next week. And we're talking to author Chris Millard. Chris is a contributor that's written articles for Golf World, Golf Digest, the New York Times, the Golf Channel. He's penned a number of books, and his latest is called The Shot, Watson, Nicklaus, Pebble Beach, and the Chip That Changed Everything. It's all about the arguably the greatest shot in golf history, Watson's chip-in on the last day, the 71st hole of the 1982 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, the 17th hole that helped him to go on to beat Jack Nicklaus and win his only U.S. Open title. Chris, I remember watching that. I was at my parents' house, and my dad and I, who at the time were not big Jack Nicklaus fans. That's changed. Since then, I love the guy now, but we were big Tom Watson fans, and when he hit that drive that landed just short in the green in the bad rough, we both thought he was dead in the water, too, and our reaction was kind of similar to the one that David Fay had when Watson ended up holding the shot. Is it true that Watson, he told his caddy, who said, get it close, and Watson said, get it close, hell, I'm going to make it.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly true, word for word true. When he hit it into that rough, you're right, earlier you said the entire shot, the length of this entire shot was maybe 20 feet from the rough along the side of the 17th green to that pin. And it was a little bit downhill too, so you're chipping out of sort of mid shin high rough to a downhill U.S. Open speed green, and as soon as that ball kind of nestled in the rough, Watson put his head down. You could see his body language as he walked up to the green that he was pretty sullen, And in his back of his mind, he probably was also acknowledging that he probably lost the U.S. Open. But Bruce Edwards, and as you know, Jay, there's a huge section in there on the relationship between Bruce and Tom. And Bruce is a major player in this story, not only because he was with Tom at that moment and in a way helped him through it, but because it's the first major title they ever won together. Watson had won several major championships before this, but never with that. Yeah, never with Bruce on the bag. And so that's another, when we talk about the things that changed, you know, the shot that changed everything, this is another one of the things that changed, that the greatest duo, maybe the greatest tandem in player caddy history, had never won a major championship together until Watson chips it in. But anyway, as they're walking up towards the green, heading to an execution, Bruce says to Watson, "Hey, look, you know, let's not get too down now. Let's just see what kind of lie we have. You know, we'll be fine." And that's kind of the what a friend might say in a situation like that. But as they got a little closer, when they got about 20 feet away, they could see a little bit of the ball. And to all of your listeners who are avid golfers and maybe not even so avid, when you can see the ball from 10, 20 feet away, it gives you a little bit of hope. When you can't see it, you kind of go, oh, boy. And that sort of gave them a little spark. And when they got to the shot, they realized the ball was actually sitting up on some taller grass that had been bent down. So, you know, it was being supported. He could actually get to the ball. It wasn't buried down, way down into the roots in the dirt. And so, you know, as they've looked it over and they decide what club they're going to play, and amazingly enough, the club is a Wilson Dynapower sand wedge that Tom Watson had found abandoned in a garbage can in David Graham's garage.
Wow.
It amazes me. But, you know, players at that level, they have a feel about a club. Sometimes they put their hand on it, and boom, they know this is the club for them. And so I guess David Graham and his garbage can get an assist for this greatest shot in golf history. And as they're getting ready to play the shot, Bruce, again, with a classic kind of caddy encouragement, you know, get it close. And Watson turns and says, "Get it close. Hell, I'm going to make it." And when you see that incredible celebration on the green, which, you know, we all remember Watson running onto the green and fists up in the air and dancing around and pointing back to his caddy. That's like the greatest "I told you so" in sports, because he's pointing at Bruce saying, "I told you. I told you I was going to make it."
Great story. That's called The Shot, Watson, Nicklaus Pebble Beach, and The Chip That Changed Everything, the book from author Chris Millard. What's the other angle that you talk a lot about in the book is, and you mentioned it earlier, the ABC ESPN TV coverage thing. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that was a really, that's another example of, you know, another thing that changed. Up until the U.S. Open in 1982 at Pebble, golf had only been shown in America on weekends. We'd only had the Saturday, Sunday. And really, into the 70s, golf television viewers were only getting the last few holes of a tournament. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the Masters came on TV, we would only see the back nine.
Yeah.
And of course, now you see everything. But golf television was not always as wide open as it is today. And what happened in 82 is ESPN was just really starting out. It was founded in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. And even cable television was fairly new still in 1982. But ESPN was kind of always looking for content. They were always looking for what can we put on our air. And they went to ABC Sports and said, hey, we've noticed that you only air the Saturday and Sunday rounds on television, but there are two other rounds. They're Thursday and Friday. Why don't you allow us to air those rounds on ESPN? And so there was some discussion within ABC Sports about whether they should do that. The primary concern being the ABC Sports was, you know, as you'll recall, Jay, was the leader in sports television for a long, long time. I remember Wide World of Sports back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And they were very proud not only of their leadership position, but of the quality of their telecasts. And what they would do, typically, ABC would, on Thursday and Friday, they would practice their telecast. So they obviously weren't on air, but they would track golf balls, you know, they'd test camera angles, test lighting, so that when Saturday and Sunday rolled around, they'd have a flawless telecast.
Sure.
So ESPN basically says, look, instead of using Thursday and Friday as practice, why don't we air Thursday and Friday? It'll just air on our network, on ESPN, instead of ABC. Well, the ABC employees, the rank and file, weren't too crazy about this because, first of all, with less practice, they felt like their telecast wouldn't be as good.
We got about 30 seconds, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so when they came and they made the agreement, and those ESPN did air those first two rounds, and, of course, that was one of the huge steps forward for ESPN, you know, from cable to from a know-nothing, no-name cable outfit to what it became.
One of the more amazing angles in the story behind The Shot. It's all chronicled in the book, The Shot, Watson, Nicholas, Pebble Beach, and The Chip to Change Everything. If you want a great read, check it out. Chris Millard, author, joining us today. Chris, thanks much. Back 9 Press, it'll be out next week. Look for it. The Shot. Chris, thanks for joining us on TV Grid.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Super job, and a great book, too. We'll take a quick break. Be back with more right after this.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Your top source for golf news and entertainment on the radio, online, or on your smartphone. It's TD Green, the golf show. Lots of ways to listen to TD Green these days. We do appreciate you tuning in. I'm Jay Ritchie. Robert DeCose is in master control. And our next guest, ready to go on the TD Green guest line, Kevin Casey. A New Jersey resident, a guy who's been a lifelong golfer, and a guy who's determined to increase awareness and pride in the legacy of golf in his home state. We're talking about the Garden State, New Jersey. And we welcome Kevin Casey to TD Green today to talk about his book, which is called Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf, A Unique History of Golf in the Garden State. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm great, Jay. How are you?
We're terrific. And, you know, when you think about golf, you don't really think about New Jersey as one of the trailblazers in American golf. But if you dig a little deeper into it, I mean, for goodness sake, the USGA has been headquartered in Far Hills in New Jersey forever with Golf House there. You've got a couple of great golf courses, I mean great, in Pine Valley and Baltusrol in New Jersey itself. And you were telling me the other day something I didn't realize. The very first PGA tournament was held in New Jersey?
Well, that's stretching it a little bit. The very first tournament that you could say was sponsored by commercial activities, in this case a hotel, or two hotels, was held on January 1st and January 2nd, 1898. The money was put up by two hotels in Lakewood, New Jersey, at a wonderful old course at the time. It was Ocean County Hunt and Country Club. There were probably only 30 courses in the state at that point, so it was prominent in that regard. And the tournament was held those 2 days, and you might say, why then? You know, why January 1st and 2nd? And I looked up the weather those 2 days. The highs were around 38, and they were expecting snow flurries over the course of the day. But that was the first golf tournament in the United States. It was put together by sponsors for professionals. They had 15 guys show up. They played for $150. First prize was $75, and the winning score was 170. So it was a rough day out there. And this, you got to remember, this is before Gore-Tex. This is before hand warmers. It had to be brutal out there, and the ground was frozen. But they had 100 people in the gallery, which poses a question: why? Why would they play then? And as it turns out, people were anxious to get out of the city every weekend, and you couldn't go too far in those days. We didn't have interstates. We barely had cars at that point. You had trains, and you had horses, and the only way to get anywhere, you couldn't get too far, and they were the only way to get anywhere, so people would hop the train, and they go to Lakewood, of all places, and Atlantic City, which I'm sure you've heard of, wonderful golf town there. And that's where this tournament was held. And it became essentially the prototype for the PGA Tour that it is today. In other words, it's gone from 150 dollars worth of a purse to $150 million worth of purse. It's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing. Great story. Thanks for telling us and sharing that with us today. Now, your book itself, Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf, I'm sure that's part of it right there. That story's part of the book.
Yeah.
What prompted you to put this book together?
Well, I'd like to say in a way that I'm a New Jerseyan through and through, but I'm not. I've been here for 25 years now. And I've been a golfer my whole life, and I found when I came to New Jersey, I thought I knew my way around golf and golf history, but it occurred to me that I knew nothing. The more I talked to people who'd been here for a long time, the more I studied and read up on what was going on in New Jersey history, everything from the people to the golf courses, Pine Valley, the number one course in the world, practically since it was built in 1922, has been rated the number one course in the world since, with Golf Digest, certainly since 1985. There are only 4 years that it hasn't been ranked the number one course in the United States. So you go to the golf courses, you go to architects like Tillinghast and Robert Trent Jones and Donald Ross, you name them, they were here. And it's just an extraordinary confluence of things that made New Jersey unique, and I'd say second only to New York State, and possibly Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area, in terms of influence on golf in America. And not just a long time ago, but more recently as well, because we continue to have those great courses and great events continue to show up within New Jersey's borders.
Does New Jersey, Kevin, get a bad rap or an unfair rap when it comes to golf?
Let me expand it a little bit. Have you ever listened to late night the talk shows, going back to Johnny Carson all the way to the present? New Jersey gets a bad rap about everything, it seems like.
That's true.
And that certainly extends to golf. And I was not expecting a sort of mecca when I came here. But, you know, I saw things. I saw a club not too far from where I'm sitting right now that was started. It was started in the 20s. They didn't know who the architect was. And it was one of the finest clubs in the state, in my opinion. And they didn't even know who the architect was. And then I started looking around and seeing what people knew something about what was going on in the history of the state. And they all had a lot of gray hair, or no hair at all, it seemed like. And then I started looking a little deeper, and I saw that nobody had ever written a book on New Jersey golf. So I thought it was a good time to put my thumb in the dike and see if we could elevate the idea of golf history to where it should be. And I just, I've had the best time doing it. It's been a great experience, and I've learned so much. And I thought researching and writing would be the best part, but it's been a lot more than that. People have come out of the shadows of my past, but people have gone out of their way to tell me how much they enjoy the book. And it's just been a real treat to do this.
It is called Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf, A Unique History of Golf in the Garden State. It's an oversized 11x15 coffee table book, and we're with the guy who put it together, Kevin Casey, New Jersey resident, lifelong golfer on Tee to Green today. And I was looking for ideas, this being the holiday season, for something different for that hard-to-buy-for golfer in your family or in your life, and I got an email just a couple of days ago saying this golf book makes a remarkable holiday gift, and I would agree. And I would say, Kevin, you don't have to live in New Jersey to enjoy this book. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Certainly, if you're a fan of golf history, and they're all over the place, those people are all over the place. It's got so much going on, everything from where obscure things like how the mulligan, the term mulligan came up, and the birdie, where that came from. Well, those Genesis is in New Jersey. There's a golfer. Everybody thinks that Francis we met was the first American-born golfer to win the U.S. Open, but it wasn't. And not only did somebody win it, an American win it before Francis we met from Massachusetts, but he won it twice in a row. And he won it before he was 21 years old. He won it, John J. McDermott. He was born in Philadelphia, but his whole time as a professional was in New Jersey, including at Atlantic City Country Club. It's an amazing story. Only seven people in the history of golf have won the U.S. Open twice in a row, and he's one of them, but nobody knows his name.
That's great. So the idea, so you're telling me the idea of the mulligan came from New Jersey? Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. It's a pretty obscure story, but there's a wonderful club not too far from here called Essex Fells Country Club. And the locker room attendant was a guy named Eddie Mulligan. Eddie Mulligan was usually able to slip out late in the day to go play with a couple members every weekday. And one time he was caught in the locker room doing whatever he needed to do, and he didn't quite get out to the first tee in time. The guys he was playing with said, "Hurry up, let's go." And so Eddie got up to the first tee, duffed it, barely made it off to the ladies' tee, I think, or off the forward tees. And then he said, "Hold it. You guys have been here all day. You've been practicing. Come on, let me hit one more." And so he hit one more, and he nailed it. And ever since then, that group called it a mulligan, and they decided to make that part of their game. And one of the people in the group was a gentleman who was a reporter for NBC and a columnist for NBC at the time, radio. And he used it on the air. He told a story, and that's how the mulligan got formed. And the idea of the birdie was again, at Atlantic City Country Club. A guy named George Crump, the fellow who started Pine Valley Golf Club, was playing with a guy named Tillinghast, who was one of the finest architects of all time.
Yeah.
And they were in a foursome, and some guy, they were using a new ball. It had rarely been able to be used, and birdies were very hard to come by. As a matter of fact, back in those days, bogey was the idea of what we consider par today. You made a birdie. That was really extraordinary. And they didn't call it birdies, not until somebody in that group, and it's not quite sure who, saw one of the players knock it to about 6 inches on a long par four. And nobody had ever gotten it that close before. And they said, "Man, that's a bird of a shot." And that was a weird term, but it's used in on the English, on the other side of the pond. They use it quite a bit to signify something really special. And so the word birdie got used as a regular way of gambling. How many birdies did you make today, you know? And that became the standard for the term. And at that time, Atlantic City Country Club was a resort, so it had people from all over the country who were coming to Atlantic City, and they'd go back to their own clubs and own courses, and they brought the birdie with them, and that's how that happened.
Just a little bit about the unique history of golf in the Garden State that you'll find in the book called Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf. Like I said, it makes a remarkable holiday Christmas gift. It's an oversized 11 by 15 coffee table book. And it's author Kevin Casey on Tee to Green with us today. Kevin, just enough time left to tell folks how they can get their hands on a copy. Where can they find it?
Sure. The best thing you can go is you can just absolutely go online and type in New Jersey Golf Stories, and that'll take you right to it. It's a wonderful site. It's a beautiful site, too. It gives you a good idea of what the book's all about. And I think anybody that would love the golf history would love to get a copy of this book. And it's probably 40% of our sales is a gift as it is.
All right. Kevin Casey. On
Thank you
Gray.
So much.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
The fastest hour in radio, the quickest hour in golf. It's TD Gray. We're not done yet. If you're looking for some golf today, Golf Channel NBC, the final round of the Hero World Challenge hosted by Tiger Woods. Proceeds to the Tiger Woods Foundation. They're playing at the Albany Course in the Bahamas. 72 holes, stroke play. It's not really an actual PGA tournament, but they do play a 20-player field comprised of winners of the majors and the Players' Championship, plus the top 12 in the World Golf Rankings, and they have room for a couple of exemptions as well. Justin Thomas, 17 under par, a one-shot lead over Scottie Scheffler at 16 under. Tom Kim from South Korea, two shots back at 15 under. Keegan Bradley in the hunt, four shots back at 13 under par at the Hero World Challenge hosted by Tiger Woods on Golf Channel and on NBC. Our thanks today to a couple of great guests who've written two really cool books and told us some really nice stories as well. Kevin Casey, Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf. You can go online and, like he said, just type in New Jersey Golf Stories and all the information how you can get a copy of the book will pop up. It makes a great holiday Christmas gift for that hard to buy for golfer in the family. Kevin Casey, Remarkable Stories of New Jersey Golf. And how about author Chris Millard, The Shot, Watson, Nicklaus, Pebble Beach, and The Chip That Changed Everything.
Back Nine Press. It'll be available starting next week, December 12th. Another great Christmas gift idea. Hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Robert DeCose in Master Control. Have a great week, everybody. I'm Jay Ritchie. Till next time, hit 'em long. Hit 'em straight.